Do you like the Star Wars? Well, we do too here at the Ranker Pit. And this week, this outing, it's going to get a little dirty. This is Cole, Jedi Cole Houston. And joining me, as always, is the illustrious
Eddie Medina. And yes, we're going to get dirty, but not in the way you think. Not in the way of the last Rancor Pit Live where we were dropping F-bombs left and right. Or
yeah.
Not us, but I guess barbecue. You
know. He's a foul mouth little.
Oh, not barbecue, blowtorch.
One of those
G.I. Joe firefighters.
I keep wanting to call him barbecue, but I think you're right. It's blowtorch. But yes, this is, we're not in the naughty way.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to
very
be...
very British. It's okay. Naughty British is okay. Let's just say that now.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the thing is, if you're British, you can get away with being naughty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little naughty, baby.
Naughty, and the nickers, and, you know, and the...
Okay, now you've offended my sensibilities.
Knickers. What did you think I said?
No, I knew what you said.
I guess
for some reason that word just strikes me as really dirty.
It's too dirty, huh?
Yeah,
we can't talk about undergarments.
Yeah. Oh no, no, that's just completely inappropriate. But, yeah, I didn't think you were trying to stir up controversy.
Yeah, let's not do that.
But now they we got to thinking about doing a show. Because we've done so many topics that are specific to things you can point to and say, okay, yeah, that's, you know, these things are things that happen in the movies, here's things about a certain character.
Yeah.
Any number of different aspects of the Star Wars saga. And we decided to, you know, with the demise of the expanded universe and the resurgence under Disney, it's pretty much open season. This is the wild frontier, baby. So we're going to have a little fun with our own, expanding the universe in our own special way, with profuse apologies to Mike Rowe, the Discovery Channel, and the Discovery Channel program, Dirty Jobs. We wanted to do a kind of a tribute to that show with the Dirty Jobs of Star Wars, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that's just not film-worthy.
Mm-hmm.
But we think it was worthy of discussing. And this show is going to be all about what we perceive as being some of the jobs that are necessary, but not necessarily...
No one's going to aspire to take these
exactly.
jobs.
Exactly. These are the jobs you get when maybe, you know, the admiral that you're under just got force choked to death.
Yeah.
And Vader's an even... worse, in a really foul mood, and so he's like, your division now has to go do, like, you know, KP duty or something.
These are the jobs that if Greedo had lived, he would have been stuck having to do, because Jabba would have finally stopped using him.
Yeah, I think so. If he'd come back, because, I mean, if Han had, like, you know, punched him instead of shot him.
Or at least given him a wedgie or something.
Yeah, that's true. Like a space wedgie.
The Carillion wedgie is a very
That one.
It's a very
that one will literally wad your knickers. Oh. I can't believe I said that. Terrible thing to say. But
I think the prequels would have ended very differently if Mike Rowe was on the Jedi Council instead of some of those other nincompoops. He's a smart guy.
Well, you know, I think the Jedi Council is a good starting off point, because check out that council chamber. It's a huge structure, for one.
Yeah, of course.
And then you've got the beautifully polished floor, you know, in that great big chamber where everybody has to yell at each other. It's like this, like the super long table in...
Tim and Batman. Batman.
Yes, very good. Exactly. Right.
The salt.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
So you think he's the chosen one? What? Do you think he's the chosen one? You know. Yaddles are there. Say it. Don't spray it.
Have you ever danced with the Devorian by the pale moonlight? Is it Devorian? Is that the devil one?
I literally
didn't even research that. I think it's a Devorian, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
No, actually, I believe that is right, because most of the names are kind of derivative anyway. So. But, I mean...
It is a Devorian.
Somebody has to come and polish those floors. With, you know, somebody has to get in there with, like, some Padawan has to come in with the mop and glow.
Mm-hmm.
And give that thing a good polish every few days.
Yeah.
Because that's some gorgeous tile work there. And, you know, you don't want somebody coming in to entreat with the Jedi Council and, you know, be tracking dust or something through the thing. So I think that, you know, there has to be, like, you know, some younglings, you know, have to come in. And it becomes sort of like Mr. Miyagi. The part of their lightsaber training is the wax on, wax off.
Uh-huh.
And they don't realize it until later. And that may be why Anakin was so bitter by the time we get to episode 2.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I got out of slavery for this. I mean, at least at Watto's shop, I got to build stuff. Here, I got to mop up the floors and clean the toilets.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many different types of toilets there are in every men's room here?
Well, the thing about it is that makes it a dirty job is, you know, like you were saying earlier, sometimes the discussions get a little heated.
Yeah.
And what people don't know is Plo Koon, being a Keldor, I think that's how you say his species name, the Keldors, when they get upset or if they're pushed on anything that, you know, kind of ruffles their feathers, they have very weak bladder control at that point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So
there's very
probably
often.
His seat has, like, some kind of a pad on it, like an absorbent pad that has to be changed out at the end of the session.
Which would work just fine, but they're also very animated in their talk, and they have to get up and walk as they're yelling and making their points. So then he's just all over the place. You can't exactly have a Padawan following him around with a big pad. You know, they just kind of have to let him do his thing and then deal with the consequences after the fact.
They just call someone in to mop up, and then they can all leave. I mean, like, think of poor Yoda. He's barefoot. He don't want to go traipsing through all that.
Yeah, he's got that little hover thing he can hover around in.
Oh, yeah, I guess he could just... He probably has a little remote control there at his chair, and he can conjure it over. So he can, like, careful!
Use the force and levitate himself right over.
Or he could, you know, we've seen how he can leap about. That's probably how he got started doing that.
He had to avoid...
It's like, well...
Plo Koon's urine.
Came in handy, this did. Think... Of Plo Koon, I must think. And, you know, these bounce around fighting.
Oh,
Palpatine.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and the most difficult thing is when you're in a galaxy like that, where you have such a diverse species, you have to be careful that you don't actually use some sort of absorbent species.
Yeah.
That can cause a lot of... You know, you're right there in the capital city, and, you know, you accidentally grab a senator, start mopping up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, you're up there in the... you're the next one they're talking to the council chambers with.
Yeah.
Plo Koon's dancing around, peeing on everything. Plus, you got to go before the Senate.
That would explain why Plo Koon's lightsaber's yellow, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's right, the original yellow. I honestly had no idea that there was an incontinence issue on the Jedi Council.
There is. There was that deleted scene from the Clone Wars TV show where they had to, you know, the Jedis all went out on the mission, and they had to warn everybody, don't eat the yellow Hoth snow.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or the blue stuff, either.
Gosh.
And like I said, you know, there's a lot of different toilets in the men's room.
There would have to be. Different
there's 14
shapes.
Different styles, yeah. And then, like, some of them are set, like, 6 feet up the wall and stuff for the really tall guys.
Yeah, it's like the, like, human urinals when you go to, like, the truck stops and they got the urinal mounted at your nipples. And you're thinking, how am I supposed to use this?
Yeah. This has some really tall truckers here. Or very acrobatic. Maybe they were on the Jedi Council as well. So yeah, I guess apparently
you were going to be all over the place.
Yeah, Council Chamber Mopper is one of the surprisingly dirtier of the dirty jobs. The other one being absorbent aliens. That in itself is a very dirty job, because then you have to go and wring yourself out afterwards.
Yeah, wring yourself out. Well, it's funny that we're talking about moppers, because thinking about some things, one of the things I thought of was there's got to be a Hutt slime mopper.
Oh, yeah, there would have to be. Because otherwise, you know, granted, I think that's why they kept the floors in Jabba's Palace kind of sandy.
Yeah, it's almost like a cat litter box or something.
And also, if you ever had the Hasbro Jabba's Throne, it had all that crenellations in it, all the little...
Yeah!
It was all pierced and open like that. And, you know, it's easy to imagine that the reason was that, Kenner was trying to invoke the grate on the floor for the Rancors.
Never made sense to me as a kid.
Yeah, I think it was meant to, like, you know, this is sort of like what the Rancor pit would be like down there, except that it's only about, you know, a foot deep. And
it's for the baby Rancors.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the reality was that that's like actually just like slime venting there. It just allows...
That's his final line of defense. I mean, of when they have to interrogate somebody, they stick him down in that crate. They just let Jabba slime all over
it. It's like Cool Hand Luke. You spend a night in the box, and in this case, there's a slime sieve above you.
Or instead of Cool Hand Luke, it'd be Robotic Hand Luke in this case.
Oh, that's so very true.
Yeah.
Oh, then the caption is, what we have here is failure to communicate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you would definitely need somebody to kind of like, even though, like I said, the flooring there is kind of sandy, so they can, it's almost like that cat litter that clumps.
Mm-hmm.
So as Jabba's sliming along, you can go in there and just kind of ball it up.
Well, and it kind of gets on some of the bounty hunters' nerves, because whenever Stinky is around, Rhoda the Hutt, Punky Muffin. He likes to just actually roll around the sand, so as he's oozing his ooze, and so he just kind of gets all kind of covered up with the sand, and then, you know, goes about and, you know, shakes it off, and, you know, that stuff gets
all
everywhere.
Over, spackles on the wall, and...
Like when your dog comes in from giving him a bath, he shakes off a million times outside, but he waits till he gets inside to do that one last shake.
That's right.
That's what Punky Muffin does. Clumped up ooze.
Punky Muffin ooze, yeah.
Yeah.
never but, you know, it turned out that, like, I think it was Ishii Tib, was it Poach Snitkin?
Mm-hmm.
Also known as Snit Plotkin. Mm-hmm. actually found a way, prior to his unfortunate demise at the Sarlacc pit, to capitalize on that. And was actually making some, like, decorative candle holders with Punky Muffin crusts.
Oh.
Yeah. But, you know, on Tatooine...
That's another dirty job, is making those things.
Yeah. The
putt slime candles.
That's right.
It's gross.
Turns
what
out
do those smell like? I mean, you're definitely not selling those at Pier 1, so...
Well, yeah, you're not going to get, like, Yankee Candle on board with the, Bantha Poodoo candle.
Now that I think about it, I thought I remember seeing, like, a little rack of Hutt candles in Watto's workshop that he was selling, you know, to passerbys.
Yeah, it was kind of like the people who get, Sensity or whatever that is, you know?
Sensi, yeah.
Sensi, yeah, same sort of idea.
The lady that was telling Annie to get home before the storm hit.
That's right. Cause
her little booth was Hutt candles.
It was Hutt candles, and she had all the different the different scents, like, curious, exotic,
Big
Fortuna.
And then she had the purple ones. That was Zero the Hutt's, candle.
Yeah.
Is his gay Hutt cousin, Liberace cousin.
It's like that was the point where Star Wars became like Zorro the Gay Blade.
Did you ever get a chance to see who I was talking about? Zero the Hutt?
I have seen Zero the Hutt.
Yes, yeah, the lisp and the purple feathers. Like, could we really, guys? Could you get on any more bad stereotypes here? Oh, my gosh.
Wow. That one is, that's going to be one of the dirtier jobs. Also, you know, speaking of Bantha Poodoo, there are lots of beasts of burden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what's really nice about one of the really rich, diverse aspects of the Star Wars universe cinematically.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you've got all this high tech, you've got all these hovercraft and spacecraft and various vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always, you know, people running around. It's like, you know, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. It's not like the Canadians are completely without police cars.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that's kind of cool about the Star Wars universe is you've got things like Dubax and Banthas.
And Rontos.
And Rontos, yes. So, but the thing about it is, like with anything, you know, there's always that guy coming behind the parade between the equestrian division and the the people, because, you know, you don't want the people holding on to the giant balloon of SpongeBob to step in the middle of a bunch of manure and...
You know, or the high school band, or the...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they have the baton twirlers, or the lightsaber twirlers from the Jedi Academy following the Rontos.
Oh,
you don't want
anyone
slipping on that stuff.
Exactly. Things like that. So you've got to have somebody in town at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be like the Mos Eisley Dung Patrol.
Yeah. Who obviously was taking the day off when Jar Jar stepped in his Icky
Poo. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should have complained, because that EOP poop is some of the worst. It smells like a Jabba the Hutt Yankee candle. Only stickier. But
oh.
Well, that's rather the problem with all these diverse species of creatures, you know. Relatively speaking, horse manure is kind of one of the more cooperative waste material you're going to find from an animal.
Yeah.
At least the horses are goodly enough to drop something out that's easy to sweep up behind them. And some of these creatures have some pretty nasty stuff that they're leaving behind. So you've got to have, like, not only like a broom and a great big shovel, but you have to have like a vacuum and an absorbent alien and all kinds of stuff with you to be able to achieve the cleanup necessary.
Well, along those same lines, a lot of that go along with the poop scoopers are the dropping scrubbers, and in one case, the Minox. A lot of people don't realize that Minox droppings, they're hellacious.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you bring your ship in to get repaired after the cables have been chewed on, you know, you better be sure you know that that's the problem so that they can employ a Minox, you know, some
dropping scrubber,
Minox scrubber, because... You know, you don't want to get the bill when they find out the hard way that they need a scrubber.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of it, you know, a lot of these jobs, you're thinking, well, why not just have a droid to do that? You know, why are people still employed in this? And I think that's why, especially in some of the Outer Rim areas, they were so resentful of droids. Like in the bar, there's a lot of, you know, there were Minox scrubbers in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want some Imperial droid coming in, stealing their job.
Of course not. Those heartless goons, you know, soulless automatons. Well, you know, this is one thing about the old Boba Fett Kenner figure. You know, some people question his design, you know, that they chalk it up to the fact that it was a holiday special kind of take on Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And on his shins, especially on his shins, there's those little things tucked away in his pocket. Well, what people don't realize is the thing that's in his left shin is actually a little Minox dropping scraper.
Oh, yeah, because sometimes you just got to do it yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the slave one. He's not going to let anybody else touch that. No one touches it. Him.
And so he's equipped for, and that's also why he has those knee pads.
Yeah, of course.
Because you gotta you gotta get down and put some elbow grease into those smile.
Oh yeah, things. Some Mandalorian elbow grease.
Because those things, you know, they're out pooping in space. And,
yeah.
Space right. Poop is some of the hardest stuff to excise once it's set up.
Uh huh.
It's pretty cold out there.
Oh yeah.
And you know, you think it gets. That stuff that falls, what was they call them, Boeing bombs that come from airplanes?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's got nothing on the Minox.
Yeah, you know.
Space droppings.
Space droppings are the worst, so you definitely have to take these are things you just don't take into account. And the array of scrapers and such that Boba Fett's, you know, he's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of bounty hunters. So he's prepared for anything.
That has been said about him. And they wanted to, Irvin Kershner really wanted to express that fact by using him, having him use the Minox scraper at some point in Empire. But George is like, oh, no, I don't think that's very wise of us to do that.
And I think the issue there was that they were already had the scene with the Minox with Han and Leia.
They didn't want to make him too villainous, I suppose.
Yeah, they didn't want like this Minock repetition.
You know, yeah, okay.
You know, it's like, well, you know, we already had Minocks earlier, and now you got more Minocks. And yeah, sure, the scraping scene was. They found other ways to get that PG rating they wanted.
Okay.
Because the original Minock scraping scene, they actually got somebody who'd done practical effects on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay.
To work on that, there was some like unused taffy effect that was going to be utilized.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, hashtag unused taffy effect. That'll be our latest moist side of the.
Too bad they didn't go through that, because there would have been at least a little bit of a connection between. Roald Dahl and George Lucas at that point.
That's so true.
That would have been awesome.
Other than the action figure of George Sokol, who was based on that combination of characters.
Oh, we already have a connection. I forgot about hashtag Leia lick the wall.
Oh, that's right. We do have that connection.
Yeah, yeah. So we got y'all covered, listeners. So don't worry.
We're watching out for you. So. And thankfully, wall liquor is not one of the various.
Oh, it's not a dirty job. It's something Leia takes pleasure in.
Yeah. She had when she was growing up there on Alderaan.
Yeah.
She had that kind of wallpaper. Snozberry wallpaper, which was
not just a Snozberry, but Carillion.
Oh, that's right.
Carillion. Yeah, the Carillion Snozberry.
Yeah, you just have to be careful not to get, like, the, you know, accidentally get the wallpaper with the Hutt Yankee Candle flavors. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Hutts think it's delicious.
Don't like the ones at the bottom. Those are the Ewok-flavored ones.
Yeah. Yub, yub. And speaking of Ewoks, there was a lot of Imperial dirty jobs, not the least of which were the people who had to literally go around and, like, scrape the Ewoks off the feet of the AT-ATs and the AT-STs.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I mean, you can't just hose that stuff down. You want a good, thorough cleaning.
That's right.
Because otherwise you get, like, moldy spots on the bottom of the feet, and then that stuff just stinks.
Well, you got to really scrape it all out of the grooves of the bottom of the AT-AT feet, so, you know, all that. You know, you don't want all that gunk.
Yeah, and like, it's the fur, you know, that really, and then it starts to stink. And
oh yeah, with that climate, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus, you know, there's a lot of ferns and evergreen trees and other things that all get. It's a this sort of melange of. It becomes kind of like a. If you let it dry, it becomes a really nasty potpourri.
Yeah, the worst.
It's
kind.
Like the nastiest. Rotting potpourri.
Yeah, and that's when it becomes a poop-pourri.
Poop-pourri.
Yes.
So, yeah, one of the dirty jobs in the Imperial Navy, or, you know, just in the Empire, is the AT-AT foot scraper,
mm-hmm.
or foot cleaner, because you have to go in there. You have to use a similar tool to the Minox scraper.
That's the thing that's in Boba Fett's right shin pocket.
It's you know, depends on where you are and what you're doing, but mm-hmm. it kind of is one of these multi-tools that gets named, you know, fill-in-the-blank scraper.
Yeah, exactly.
Like there it was known as sort of an Ewok scraper, but in other places it's known as other mm-hmm. other things, depending on what you're stepping on or crushing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Slave One's got a pretty big footprint. So it's,
oh, it does.
It does occasionally crush the odd, you know, well, womp rat or...
Not even that. I mean, he came in pretty carelessly on Cloud City and crushed an Ugnaught.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. They were down an Ugnaught. That's really why 3PO survived the blast furnace.
Yeah.
Is they were shy of Ugnaught.
They were, they were shorthanded.
Yeah, they were shorthanded that day. And they're like, you know, normally there would have been enough of us here to that this... disaster wouldn't have happened, but they really didn't have time to hash that out.
So Boba Fett was he's the unsung hero of the rebellion.
That's right. It was like a little happy accident. He squashed an Ugnaught, and
it just changed the course of the whole war at that point.
It wasn't until he got to Tatooine with the frozen Han Solo, he gets out and like, man, he thought it was just because of the vicinity to Jabba's palace.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got doing the post flight inspection. Just, there was a oddly enough a Minox scraper stuck to part of the engine that had fallen out of the pocket of the Ugnaught he squashed.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. It makes sense. I like that.
So it's important, you know, to have the right tool for the right job, mm-hmm. regardless of how dirty it is. But another really nasty dirty job in the Imperial realm is the people have to go and maintain those garbage mashers.
Yeah.
And
I had a feeling that would come up at some point in this episode.
And, you know, I think what had happened on the Death Star, because, you know, there were garbage mashers at Imperial facilities.
Yeah.
To be sure. But no one had that volume of garbage mashers.
Mm-hmm.
And in an effort to try to, you know, how, like, sometimes they'll... you know, they've got, like, the organic, like, the genetically engineered bacteria to help clean up oil spills. The Dianoga, the trash monster, was actually an attempt to help, you know, there just wasn't enough personnel to maintain all of these garbage mashers.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to, you know, find some way to employ... absorbent aliens weren't a good idea.
No.
So they went with, you know, creating this creature known as the Dianoga.
Yeah.
To help kind of muck that up a bit. And
so what are you saying, like, he would go through and kind of, like, act as a cleaner? Like,
yeah,
like
they sort
like
of...
Like, eat away, like, the muck? Like, he feeds on the muck or something?
Yeah, they toss... It's like that those great big sucker fish, those Placostomus that you get for your fish tank.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, same sort
That's
of...
That's what I was thinking you were saying. Okay.
Yeah, general idea is very similar, is you toss them in there, and ideally they're kind of, you know, helping scrape the sides of the tank down. You know,
uh-huh.
It's kind of like the scrubbing bubbles from Dow.
Yes.
Only with tentacles and teeth.
Uh-huh. You know, yes, they're the scrubbing bubbles.
Yeah,
of
it was basically
galaxy,
you know,
far
when
away.
When it grabbed Luke, it was just trying to say, you know, I'm in here to clean up the garbage master, so you don't have to.
He was just trying to clean off Luke's armor.
Yeah, because so he got all dirty. He knew how the Imperial, you know, these things were engineered to know exactly how pristine a stormtrooper is intended to keep their armor.
Mm-hmm. He just wasn't prepared for how whiny Luke was going to be after he yanked him down a couple of times.
Yeah. Oh, man. He just nothing.
Because they had very sensitive hearing, and all that whining really got to him. He just had to let go and, you know, just...
It really messed with it. And then it was also thinking, aren't you a little whiny for a stormtrooper?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Which I think all of us were.
Oh, man. You know, I got one. Unless you were, or were you still talking about the?
No, I think we, you know, we covered because you could tell that even with the Dianoga, that particular garbage masher was just covered in filth and muck.
Yeah.
So they really needed to have something going on there because they were obviously the problem with the garbage masher, and I want to point this out too, is there were a lot of mistakes made with that original Death Star. The most glaring, of course, is that small thermal exhaust port right below the main port.
Mm-hmm.
But one that a lot of people don't recognize, that the Empire didn't recognize, is someone had run the toilet mains into the garbage mashers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Leia, don't lick those walls. That's horrible.
Oh, that just hit me. Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. That would explain the... Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. So.
Yeah. So, anyway, beyond the garbage masher detail, the guy who has to come in with the... You know that big, long pole that the Dubak rider has?
Yeah.
Similar thing, but with a squeegee.
Mm-hmm.
For the muck trooper, as they're known.
Oh, I like to see that figure.
I want to see the 501st adopt officially the muck trooper. So.
Mm-hmm. Maybe when we have them on the show, we can pitch that to them.
Yeah, we'll do that. As soon as we can get that arranged, we want to have the we're going to pitch the muck trooper
to the 501st. Maybe we could be the first ones inducted as the muck trooper.
We could probably just go ahead and get our muck trooper armor.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a combination of stormtrooper armor and waders, like for fly fishing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Gross. Gosh, my mind's going all sorts of places. Why'd you factored in the plumbing issues? Like, yeah, that's not gonna.
Yeah, there. I was just trying to, you know, because of the Jedi Justification series on here on the Jedi Cult Universe, I had. I'm constantly casting about for why things are the way they are, and I think that's the only way I can. Because growing up, we had garbage. What do they call them? Like a
little trash compactor.
Trash compactor. Yeah, we had the little trash compactor in our kitchen, and back when that was a big thing, I mean, you know, you were somebody who had a trash compactor.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about trash compactors is, by and large, you don't put a lot of liquid stuff in them.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, that's not a good idea because of, you know, fluid displacement and stuff like that. So it did kind of have me wondering about the sheer volume of liquid matter in the garbage masher, because that really doesn't seem like that would be a conducive to mashing.
I guess if the Dianoga is a water-bound creature.
Oh, that could be, but you know, I think maybe there was just a problem. Maybe Luke or Leia shot a hole into the wrong garbage masher chute. This was the one where accidentally was getting some sewage leakage.
Or it was the sewer, and they were trying to not freak themselves out. So they were saying, "Oh no, it's not the sewer. It's a trash compactor." That would explain why I had that wonderful smell.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, but if that wasn't actually a garbage masher, but actually the sewer, though, then you're like Tom Arnold in Austin Powers. What did you eat? So I think that was just sort of somebody accidentally...
This has gone dirty.
Yeah. Well, it is a dirty job. So, so really the muck trooper there had their work cut out for him.
The muck trooper. Oh, so, my gosh.
Again, we really want to see the muck trooper happen.
Well, taking it back to Tatooine, one thing I thought of, you know, you got the pod racers, and the pod races are big things. And it got me thinking that one service that's probably offered on Tatooine would be the Boonta Eve roadkill service.
Ah.
Because with those pod racers, you know, they're knocking out, you know, all sorts of, you know, I'm drawing blank on the little things.
Oh, like the little the Scurriers and the Womp Rats.
The Scurriers and the Womp Rats. Yeah, there you go. Even an occasional Jawa, you know, like in the way. So I would imagine, you know, there has to be some sort of roadkill service, that goes and right along with the pod racing thing.
Absolutely. You'd have to have either someone or something coming around and cleaning up all that. Plus, you have to be able to, separate the hapless spectators who were accidentally killed by a flying piece of engine block.
That's true. That's true.
From the just dead animals and other things that, you don't need to necessarily preserve those remains. You can just send them out to Gragra out there in the market to sell.
Gross. Try to make peace with the sand people. Here's a
hunk of dead
ribs. Yeah.
Yeah, some bantha ribs from a young bantha that strayed onto the
course.
That's
kind of small for a bantha ribs. Oh, no, yeah, it's juvenile.
Yeah, it was little baby bantha. It got caught up in a...
It was the most tender.
It got sucked into Sebulba's engine.
Mm-hmm.
So it literally, cooked on its way out. Came out the other side barbecued. Worked out real well. Don't enjoy those, really. You can just
that was Shmi's last meal.
Oh man, yeah, she had one of those fried green tomatoes barbecue nights there. Are those who will understand what that reference means. If you haven't imparted that from the smaller than average bantha rib.
Mm-hmm. Poor Shmi, too soon, I guess.
Or not soon enough. She wasn't actually on a torture rack. That was just a thing to help her, with the heaves there. It was just primitive medicine is what that was. Anakin bothered to recall basic Tusken medicine.
That's what it was. She was in that, and they were giving her their version of the peace pipe, which put her in this trance state.
Yeah,
which,
so she could get over
which
the
filled her body. But Anakin, big dummy, woke her up too soon and snapped her out of it, and so her system
and it clearly couldn't absorb
it. It went into shock and shut down.
That's counterindicated.
Yeah, exactly.
So really, I think we've accidentally discovered that Anakin is more responsible for the. His mother's death than anyone.
So the sand people aren't the monsters he thought they were. They were just trying
they're
to help.
They're not animals. Even the children and the women and
if
the
he had spoke
men
and Tusken, he would have known that they were saying, no, we were trying to help her.
Well, meanwhile, Rene Belloc was in the background, yelling, if only you spoke Tusken.
We worked in Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's awesome. Lucas universes are colliding here, folks.
That's right. There's nothing that's
if
going
to... If only they spoke Tusken. Wow. Hashtag. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I think we need to have a campaign to help, increase awareness of the Tusken language so we don't have these kind of accidents. Because, there really aren't that many... You don't have your carrion animals on Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any sort of indigenous vulture-like creature to kind of clean up the dead, as it were.
Yeah.
So just, months and months later when the Lars family homestead,
mm-hmm.
when the bank finally repossessed when the note came due.
Yeah.
And, somebody had to go and clean that mess up.
Yeah.
And there was these, bleached skeletons out there and obvious smoke damage all throughout the house.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of blast points.
The blue milk had spoiled at that point.
Oh, yeah. It had gone from blue milk to blue cheese to blue Lord only knows what. And,
blue penicillin.
That's right.
Oh, those poor... I keep thinking about the sand people, how they're so misunderstood. It's making me see them in a whole new light. So, New Hope, he's not trying to attack Luke. That staff, it's just, that's a sprayer. He was going to spray him with sunblock because he didn't want him to burn. Because, you know, he's so fair-skinned.
Yeah, that's true.
So it wasn't an attack at all. I mean, for that matter, you know, when he's the Tusken Raider who's shooting up the pod racer in episode one, he had just gotten word that person was out to get Anakin, you know, to do Anakin in like Sebulba was. So he was trying to help Anakin by, you know, saving his life by shooting out this, you know, rival pod racer, which it came back to bite him because he saved Anakin's life. What did Anakin do? He slaughtered them all.
Yeah, he came back and, you know, he's trying to help out.
Yeah, that's
he's trying to help out the local boy.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, he comes back, and like that one Tusken Raider wasn't like, you know, yelling attack or, you know, here's an intruder. He's yelling, "Hey, I recognize you. Weren't you that pod racer kid?" For the next thing you know, his head's rolling across the sand there.
He's just saying, "Annie, don't call me Annie." Oh my gosh! Okay, what else we got? I think we've kind of ran the roadkill service into the ground.
So true.
Oh, I got one.
Okay.
What's her name? Yarna Dalgargan.
The dancer.
The dancer, the tubby dancer in Jabba's palace with the six boobs. One dirty job that I thought of was the person who actually has to wax her back hair.
Oh, wow, yeah. You know, Jabba's palace, I think, is just full of dirty jobs.
Oh, yeah. It's dirty job central. In fact, Mike Rowe is probably one of the bounty hunters in disguise.
It's so true.
Because, you know, the Hutts, they're hairless. So, obviously, they want their women hairless for the most part. And, you know, Yarna Dalgargan's species is a very hairy. They're almost like Sasquatches.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so you had to have a guy who specifically was there in Jabba's palace to continually wax her legs, wax her back, wax her arm, make sure she didn't have a unibrow, you know, all that stuff. And that in itself is, one of the dirtiest jobs in the galaxy.
Well, especially because her species, you know, people have like the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
Her back waxing was 3 times a day.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and there was a. It was came down to the basically the Gamorreans were in charge of back waxing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, literally, the one that fell down into the Rancor pit was like that old man in the old man down in the oil in Waterworld.
Oh gosh!
So the Rancor comes in.
I hadn't thought about specifics of that movie in years. Oh my gosh, that is really reaching right there. The old man in Waterworld.
Indeed. So the Gamorrean was sort of like that. He's like, "Oh, thank God," because he'd been on like 6 weeks of back hair duty.
It was like the sweet release of death for him.
Thank you for this oblivion. this rescue from... So in a way, Luke was kind of his hero. Got him off the hook there. You know, he'd already had his waxing pads under in his shorts there.
But what if for Gamorrean hell is nothing more than Gamorrean eternity with having to wax the backs of this species? So it's not sweet release, it's just... Now you have eternity of this.
Yeah, maybe he had cheated on his taxes, and had done all these other things that are like against Gamorrean the principles of Gamorrean religion. Apparently, taxation is a big thing to the Gamorreans. I don't know why, but you cheat on your taxes, you're going to Gamorrean hell. Yeah,
that's right. There with eating green pork, you know.
Wow. Yeah, unfortunately, he fell for the old. Because their devil is actually Sam I Am. There's a lot of people don't realize the Gamorreans are monotremes. So the females will lay an egg that hatches. They have mammalian type of, you know, physiology, but they also lay an egg.
Yeah.
So the most terrible thing a Gamorrean can do is be duped into eating green eggs and ham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, now he is in the thrall of Sam-I-Am and or Samael-I-Am. No, it's just for the Hellboy. Dr. Seuss.
I was going to say Sam-Haim-I-Am or something.
Yeah, Sam-Haim-I-Am. So, yeah, he's now remanded to backyard duty for all eternity.
For all eternity. So much for sweet release of death. Oh, good night. What else do we have?
That's a tough act to follow, for one. One of the other dirty jobs in Jabba's palace is tentacle polisher.
Gross. You know, you mean like an actual tentacle?
Not that's tentacle, by the way. But there's that tentacle that comes out and grabs people in the hallway down in the prison section. Actually not a prisoner. That's just his job is to, you know, creep everybody out. He's just this creep. Mm-hmm. But that tentacle needs to be polished on a regular basis. So somebody has to go down there and do that. Because there's like some kind of spray that you have to use.
Again, with the scrubbing bubbles.
Yeah, this is important to maintain appearances. Even down in the
place. Because we know Jabba's palace is all about appearances.
That's right. Well,
and cleanliness.
They didn't have somebody, you know, sweeping up the balls of slime.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know.
Keeping everyone hairless.
Poach Snitkin's slime ball things.
That's why Jabba was very strict on not having Plo Koon and his kind in Jabba's palace. He didn't want urine everywhere. Balling up all the sand.
Well, you see, yeah, you definitely didn't want, like, you know, thank goodness no one ever sent Plo Koon to Jabba's palace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, that would just be a god-awful mess.
Clumping everywhere.
Well, and one of the hardest, the dirtiest jobs, oddly enough, because you would think that it wouldn't be that bad, but because of temperature differentials, the people who had to maintain the tauntauns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because the problem is, you know, I don't know if you ever hit like a patch of black ice.
I know where to go with this.
That's literally what. That's kind of what the poop of the Tauntaun is like. Uh-huh. Because it, you know, it's just because of their body temperature, their metabolism is so high, it's coming out like at this boiling point. But it's kind of like if you go like the coldest days, you can go out and throw a pot of boiling water and it turns into snow in the air.
Uh-huh.
Same sort of idea, only it turns into this thick ice, and then that just sort of melds with the existing ice.
Yeah.
So you actually have to go out. You can't just scrape this stuff. You have to chisel it out.
Oh, gosh.
It's like the snow cone from hell. It was like the Snoopy snow cone machine.
Oh, did I say that? Oh, my gosh, we're so on the same page.
So, you know, the rebel... You know, if you're new into the rebellion and they want to make sure you're not a spy or something, uh-huh. they're going to put you on, at least during their tenure on Hoth, you're on Tauntaun poop duty.
Mm-hmm.
And that one guy, you know, is like, your Tauntaun will freeze before you reach the first marker. And he's like, I'll see you in hell. Oh, like, you're going to come. I've been to hell. I've been on Tauntaun poop duty. Don't you dare talk to me about I'll see you in hell. You've seen me in hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Behind that very Tauntaun with a hammer and chisel.
And you know, the rebellion does not stand for hazing. Let's just say that right now. They're anti-hazing, but yet hazing still goes on in the rebel ranks. So when a new rebel recruit comes along, one of the initiations is they have to go out in Hoth. They have to go out and stick their tongue to the frozen Tauntaun poop.
Oh, yeah.
A la, you know, Flick on A Christmas Story, where he had to stick his tongue to the light pole.
Yeah, and the thing about that is that then they get a reputation for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes like a character in a Kevin Smith movie or
That's
something.
That's right, exactly. The pickle, you know what?
Yeah. I had a feeling you were, like, channeling
Kevin Smith, yes, I was.
Jason Lee and
Clerks 2.
Yeah, Clerks 2. Talking about your Mad Ducats there, wow.
Oh.
Now, yeah, that's a not only the dirty job, that's just a bad news all around.
That's just dirty. Let's just say it. It's just dirty.
It's just plain dirty.
Yeah. Well, this one isn't so much a physically dirty job, but it's a job that no one wants to do.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the Yuuzhan Vong therapist.
Oh.
Now, the Yuuzhan Vong, obviously the race that came about in the New Jedi Order books, and they're basically I guess the best way to describe them is they're very organic. Like, their weapons are living animals, their armor's organic shells, so everything about them is organic. But the best way to describe them is they're like the anti-hippie. They're of the earth, they're of the planet, but they're definitely not peaceful. So they're very aggressive, warlike. They make Klingons look like hippies, and I'm not talking about the next generation pussy whipped Klingons. I'm talking about the Kirk era, you know, pre Star Trek VI Klingons. You know, they even make those Klingons look, you know, pretty tame. So to be the Yuuzhan Vong therapist is a pretty dirty job in its own right, because that's something no one has to deal with, because you think you're making progress.
Yeah.
You have this Yuuzhan Vong warrior just lying there, and they're expressing themselves, and you're trying to get them to tell you about their father, and they start to get to that point where they actually shed a tear.
Wow.
And when they realize what you've done, that you've exposed them this way,
you've been like the movie Up, like the first 10 minutes of the movie Up, that you've caused them to weep.
Yes.
That movie did not go well on their homeworld.
No, it did not. So even though as a therapist, your job is to get your client to open up and express their feelings, the Yuuzhan Vong, when you get them to that point, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
More often than enough, you will be impaled by one of their organic creature spear things.
But, you know, the thing about it is, with the big organic movement, I think there are people who would at least be like, at least you didn't use, like, an artificial or, farm, one of these mass-produced farm-type weapons.
Oh, yeah.
At least it was organic.
Not... It wasn't farm-raised weapons.
Yeah, it was a free-range weapon.
It was free-range weapon. That's the first time anybody has ever described the Yuuzhan Vong weaponry as free-range weapons.
That's just my personal philosophy. I'll just simply only use...
That's pretty good, considering weapon. You're somebody who doesn't buy into the expanded universe.
Yeah, and in this particular case, I'll make the exception because
That's pretty good.
Their philosophy and mine mesh or something.
Oh, goodness. Anything else you have as far as dirty jobs?
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's another one is a really dirty job that you run into is on Cloud City, the Ewoks are brilliant. They're like, the
Ewoks
were
Ugnaughts.
I'm sorry, yeah, the Ewoks. No, yeah, the Ugnaughts were brilliant technicians. They were, on board for anything you needed. They, they could go and convert last minute. You could call them up, 5 minutes to closing time. It's like Bill King's Braco.
Yeah.
You could call them up at like 5 till
Plo Koon's breakup.
And they would, you could get them to do things like convert your carbon freezing chamber.
Yeah.
For use as a human being freezing carbonite chamber.
Yeah.
You do have to do a little retooling. It's not calibrated for that.
Oh, no.
They'll come in and do it. They're great, but man, I'll tell you. the dining hall that they demand is a mess. Because basically they just, it's like they want, well, the common things in their diets are like if you took chili dogs, Fruity Pebbles cereal, beef tips and gravy,
and Wookiee floor soup.
Wookiee floor soup, and you just blend it. It's like Mr. Creosote in Meaning of Life. And then they all go in mass.
Yeah.
And just start chowing down in these huge troughs.
Yeah.
And it just...
That explains their pig noses, I suppose. Their
it explains why they all have to wear aprons, for one thing.
Yes, yeah, that's true, true.
So, you have...
Gosh.
The mess hall literally lives up to its name.
The Ugnaught Mess Hall. It's kind of funny because they are like geniuses. They're all members of Mensa or something.
Yeah.
But whereas like in the human species, you know, sometimes it's pretty common for a genius to not have any common sense.
Well, that is true.
In the Ugnaught world, they're geniuses. They don't have any kind of manners or table, you know. Yeah. So they're just...
Well, that's literally why they had to adapt, because you know, they don't get invited to that dining hall where Vader and Boba Fett were hanging out.
Speaking of Ugnaughts, is it ever explained why some have tiny short snouts, like human size nose snouts, and some have like the big boar snouts?
I think it's like...
Or is that just like Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere Ugnaughts?
I think it's like, you know, the part of the... Because, you know, they're originally from Bespin, and I think it depends on what part of Bespin you're from. Like, you know,
okay.
Are you the fifth quadrant family?
Maybe they're the ones with the longer snouts were raised too close to like the gas mines or something.
Oh, could be.
The mining facilities, you know, they're getting off all that, you know, industrial toxic smell and waste and stuff, and so they mutated a different way, I suppose. I don't know.
Or they could be like just Ugnaughts from different planets that have Ugnaughts. Like, you know, some Ugnaught planets have a certain species of Ugnaught. It's like, you know, the human beings. You find humans on a lot of different planets.
Yeah.
In the Star Wars universe, you'd probably find Ugnaughts on various planets as well.
Oh, okay. So some have the little tusks, some have no tusks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it just depends on which planet of origin, if you will.
You have some that just look more animal-like, and others look just like Oompa Loompa-ish. Well, I'm glad to know that you can explain away all the horrible fashion sense aprons. It makes sense now that they're messy eaters. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, a lot of people get confused by that.
I'm sure Mensa members listening to this will appreciate me comparing them to Ugnaughts.
Or perhaps they might, you know someone who is exactly like that. Yes.
Oh, yes, actually.
Yes, there's always that one guy in there. He's a freaking genius, but man, he just has no sense.
And not very tall either.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah, it looks like Winston Churchill with tusks.
Or just Winston Churchill.
Yeah. Well, you know, Winston Churchill did have tusks.
It's like the Star Trek version of Winston Churchill or something. It's like Star Trek aliens as opposed to Star... You know, I know we're going way off topic, but Star Trek aliens...
That never happens on the show, of course.
They're normally just humanoid with little ridges or a horn or something, whereas Star Wars aliens are just completely off the wall, everything completely non-human about them.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. It's like... Star Wars aliens are like a box of chocolates. Which actually sounded more like a bad impression of
FDR?
or Bill Clinton.
Yeah, well, there you go, Bill Clinton.
So if you're pressed for a...
I do not have sex with that Ugnaught.
Wow. Now it gets like that British psychological thriller show.
Yeah.
I finally figured out what that was all about.
But, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, as far as you know. But any other really nasty, dirty jobs other than, just the Boba Fett launderer? With all that stuff, with the backpack and all those tools and everything, at the end of the day, when you gotta clean up that, who's gotta clean up the inside of that thing? It's gotta smell like, to borrow from Alcon, clam baked pickled ass.
Oh gosh, I could have stayed at Alcon. That's the reason why Alcon's moving to a new hotel next year. They couldn't get that smell out the carpet. I don't think Boba Fett trusts anybody to clean out his stuff, just like he doesn't trust anybody to touch his
plate.
Oh, that's
true. So he probably just has some kind of...
Now, Jango, on the other hand, would have done that because he's a little bit more careless. That's why he got his head lopped off.
That's true. So he probably, somebody there on... gosh, what was the...
Mandalore?
Yeah, or no, on the Seattle planet.
Coruscant? Wait, Seattle planet. Oh, Bespin?
No, the one where...
I'm all over the place.
Yeah, you really are. The planet where the clones were... the cloners, damn good ones. Kamino.
Oh, Kamino.
Yeah, probably some hapless Kaminoan had to... be put in charge of dry cleaning that thing.
How did you get Seattle and Kamino? Because it's always raining or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And there was a Starbucks. Did you see it?
Yes. No, Starbucks. They only have Starbucks.
It was a Star Wars Bucks, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, they only have Starbucks on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oddly enough, started by Starbucks.
Yes, indeed.
Anyway.
And then he sold it, and it was really more just a little startup, so he could turn it around.
Oh, I was thinking the female Starbucks. You went old school Starbucks.
Yeah, because I've never actually seen the other show. And we're starting to digress. So I think, other than when the Rancor Keeper goes after. Luke had, killed the Rancor, and he's there crying. The mm-hmm. ones kind of consoling him mm-hmm. were actually quietly very thrilled that this thing is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the dirtiest of all the animal-based dirty jobs.
Mm.
I don't know if you ever smelled predator poop.
Predator poop, as in...
carnivores, you know.
Oh, okay, not as in the Schwarzenegger Predator, okay.
Oh, well, yeah, or that. Apparently that is completely scentless.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
It's against our cloaking.
Exactly, you don't have to drop one and then have your enemies know where you are, because...
the predator stuff, dropping a deuce.
that stuff sticks on ice, but normally, but they've developed theirs where it... leaves nothing behind with a great smell of brute.
They're genetically altered poop that doesn't smell. Oh my gosh. What are we talking about before? Predator poop. Okay,
okay, imagine that Jurassic Park pile of crap.
Oh, yeah.
Only gummier, smellier. And then you have an idea, especially mm-hmm. if the Rancor gets worms or something.
Oh!
Yeah, because then it's like the scene in Star Trek, Star Trek 3?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets pretty nasty. So those guys were actually, they were seeming to console, but in reality they were quietly celebrating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, who would want to go digging in Rancor poop unless you're Laura Dern? And she likes digging her elbow deep in stuff, so,
exactly.
Call her up and let her take care of it.
Like it's snow angels in it.
this is a job for Lord Earn. Oh my gosh. Anyways. You know, we have to do a follow up to this. We had to do Star Wars Dirty Jobs 2 at some point.
Absolutely, yeah, because there are bound to be more dirty jobs. And,
we got to steer clear of Jabba's Palace, hopefully.
Yeah, but if you have some non Jabba's Palace dirty jobs you'd like us to explore on the show, write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com with the subject line Star Wars Dirty Jobs. And, let us know, you know, some of the things you'd like us to try to explore, some of the concepts of dirty jobs we may not have thought of, because there are certainly, you know, the guy who has to muck up afterwards at the Mos Eisley Cantina to start, just, you know, things we might not have covered or could cover differently or do more. Uh-huh. This was fun. It was just kind of an exercise in just letting us freewheel and ad-lib and...
I would be very disappointed if listener Frank Anderson did not come up with at least one dirty job for us to discuss. So, Frank, if you're listening, I'm sure you are, give us at least one good dirty job to talk about on the next Dirty Jobs episode.
Absolutely.
That's your challenge, Frank.
That's right. So the gauntlet has been laid down, and the rubber gloves are getting taken off. We're going to go ahead and... call it a night. The muck troopers are gonna doff their armor.
Muck troopers 001 and 002.
Yeah,
the first two and only muck troopers in the 501st.
Was it DJ 421? This is a dirty job.
I like that.
Yeah. DJ 421, why aren't you at your post?
That's got to be an all-con thing. Next year, all-con 2016.
Yeah, we gotta get our
helmets and then come up with the Dirty Jobs armor.
Yes.
Go with it.
With our squeegee.
Oh, gosh. All right. We should probably get going.
Yeah. With that, we're going to go ahead and close up this nastier version of the show.
Yes, we have soiled our knickers.
Oh, not again. But we hope you enjoyed this sort of, you know, fun. We're just kind of taking a break from the norm this time to have a little play around with the Star Wars universe and take a little bit different approach to it all. So with that, I'm going to say good night, Eddie.
Good night.
And we will see you in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense. In the meantime, in just a very few, about a week from today, you can, Eddie and I will be inaugurating Sunday at Deep Elm on Air in the brand of new studios.
Yes, that's right.
There will be a few shows produced in the new studio before we get our chance, but this will be the first full week we'll be inaugurated with, The Rancor Pit live on Deep Elm On Air at deepelmonair.com.
Deepelmonair.com?
Dot com, yes. It's the new porn-based internet. And we also have whole kernel internet.
See, he meant to say .com, people, but he kind of threw up a little in his mouth thinking about all the dirty jobs that we were just discussing.
Some of those dirty jobs kind of got me a little pukey.
Yeah, and it came out Cobb.
So, and of all the things, at least it came out Cobb. So.
Never mind, I'm not Cobb.
Yeah, you don't really want to know where that could have gone. So, with that in mind, check us out on deepelmonair.com. You can check out the archive today of past shows. Find Eddie and I occasionally at conventions here in Texas. Find out about all the conventions in Texas at Convention Awareness Project Texas at cap-tx.info. And Eddie, where can we find your artwork?
Just go to eddiemedina.com and it should shoot you in all the different directions, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Excellent. And as you may know by now, the... Hey Kids Comics Live is no longer going to be produced. Andy has moved, so doing a live show is no longer an option. But we will continue to have the live Star Wars The Rancor Pit and a number of other goodies coming down the line.
And but stay tuned to the next Rancor Pit Live, because on the next episode, we're actually going to put Hey Kids Comics Live on the wood, and we're going to burn it a la Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi.
That's right. We brand new studio with better fire control capabilities. So we have got permission now to have a fire pit. And
we will be burning the body of Hey Kids Comics Live.
Which ironically looks like, looks like Darth Vader. And then decades from now, we'll have like the helmet, the burned helmet. But we'll be like part of the teaser trailer for the Jedi Cold Universe Awakens.
Good.
So
night.
There it is. And with that dirty job, we're going to bid adieu for another 2 weeks for the next Rancor Pit, and we'll see you in a week for the Rancor Pit Live.